Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all that came out to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that these have not rejected you, that they're still holding on by faith, knowing that you're well able to bring us through. And Father, I ask you to let us see your angelic host this morning, because I know they're here. And I'm asking you, Father God, as the word goes forth, to open up our spiritual eyes and let us see what's really happening in this room. And Father God, we give you all the honor and all the glory for everything that's occurring across this United States and in each one of our individual lives. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are having trouble getting your family members to walk in love? Isn't it awful? The disunity is terrible. And we call ourselves Christians, and yet we're so hateful and so ignorant to even our own family members. And God said if we can't love those that's in our family, we can't love others either. And the reason why you can't love the ones that's in your family is because you don't love God first. If you love God first, then you'll be able to love the unlovable. You might clench your teeth every now and then, but you will be able to love the unlovable. And what happens is you say, God, what's going on here? And he'll say, thank me that you're not having the problems that they're having, and keep loving them through their mess. Right? That is true, you know. God's getting ready to do something really great, really big. And a lot of people are saying it's going to happen around July. I don't know when it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. But I do know one thing. The enemy's upset. He's upset with each one of us in here because we are still following Christ and we have not dropped out. Now, you can say, well, you know, it's COVID and I can't go out into a building. Well, the government has opened up the buildings. And what's happened is you got comfortable sitting in your houses. And now you don't want to get up and get dressed and give God any time. Just lounge around in your house clothes and sit around. You might watch, you know, some Christian programs, but you did not get up and sacrifice to get dressed and get in your car and travel to the house of God. And that's the truth. You know, this morning's message is called the Houses of Refuge. This evening's message is about miracles. And when I got all through with my message, I was reading, you know, going through my emails, and I noticed three other people are prophesying about God's wants to do miracles right now, and that is what our evening message is all about. And I was sitting there, you know, God put in my remembrance how. See, I said to God, I said, God, why is the devil so comfortable walking into this building? That was my question to God during praise and worship, because I know what goes on here. And then God just showed me that when I first started, I had such a zeal for the Lord that my praise and worship person came in with a shirt on it, had demonic symbols on it, and I went and tore it off his body. I literally did. And I said, now go up and get one of my husband's shirts to put on him. And he went and told everybody I did that. And I said, no devil's going to be in the house of God on your clothes or off your, you know, I don't care. You're not wearing demonic clothes in the house of God. You know, I need to get that boldness back again. Well, you know, you're not saving the clothes, but I'm not entertaining the devil either. Things are going down fast and furious. I know members of my families are getting tattoos that know better, and they're all getting skulls. I gave them over to God. You know, they know better. They lived with me 40-some years, and they're doing this kind of junk. Then they're God's. I'm done. I have other things I have to do. There's other souls out there that care about God. And you have to get the same attitude. You've loved them. You've nourished them. You've given me everything you have. And if they still want to serve God with everything that they know, especially when they preached and sang in the house of God, then they're on their own. They're on their own. And that's just how God looks at it too. You've turned your own self over to reprobate mind by denying that God is real. Well, I didn't say that. No, well, look at your body. What are you doing to your body? What are you wearing on your body? You wear skulls and everything like that. It's not godly. And I think it's time that we as children of God stand up for what's right, even in our own households. Yeah, I don't care if they say, well, you're supposed to be loving. Well, you know, I have been, and now I'm tired of you put me under a curse by bringing this junk into my house. You men, you need to become priests of your household, and you need to make sure that nobody, your kids or nobody else, brings ungodly things into your house. And if you women, you know, if you're the priest in your household, then you have to make sure that they don't bring any ungodly things in the household. You know, how else are we going to survive, first of all, and how else are we going to save the lost souls? In the Bible says, go ahead and minister to them, but if they don't accept Christ, what does it say? Shake their dust off your feet and walk on. So that, and I don't care what they say about you, you've done your work. And they've rejected the work that you try to do with them. They don't want Christ. And they let you know that in all their actions. So you're done with them, and they belong to God. Let's see what God has to say about houses of refuge. Well, anyhow, I said all that to say this. God's getting ready to do miracles. And we are the ones that God's going to use to do the miracles. We've paid the price, and I think that he says that in this evening's message. So what I said all the other stuff for was, don't let anybody make you feel like you're not doing your job. Don't let anybody make you feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. You know that you can walk up to God. You don't have to back up to him. You know you've done everything possible to get people saved. All right? You're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to be bold. In everything that you do with for God, you're going to have to be bold. It doesn't matter what other people say. All right? I see people sitting here this morning, you have devils in you. My prayer has been, question has been all week, why can they not get the devils out? What are you holding on to that's allowing these devils to have use your vessel as a place to live? You know, are you so, or have you entertained these devils so long that they totally have taken over your vessel? You know, these things we have to think about. I mean, you have to think about these things, not only for yourself, but when you're ministering to other people, because other people will wear you out because they really don't want free. They want some freedom, but they don't want all freedom. Are you understanding this? You know, Barbara's joined the deliverance team, and she's excited about it to see what, you know, how God's really moving. But then they also get discouraged to see where some people won't let spirits come out. They just hold on to them. And that's wasting our time and God's time. Now, I don't want to get my evening message, so let's go here. All right, this is Houses of Refuge. Children, the time is ripe for the harvest to be brought in. God's been saying that for a long time, but God told me when he said this, it's now. The battles are raging in the heavenlies, but life must go on in the natural. We will walk this out second by second, day by day, until the harvest is brought totally and completely into the barns. The houses of refuge have been undergoing a tremendous makeover. I have been purging everything out of them that I can purge, and I have been bringing my holiness into the houses of refuge. And I don't know how long ago, years ago, God told me to put that sign, House of Refuge, up in my window out there. And I didn't know why he said it, but we just do whatever he tells us to do. Now I understand we are a house of refuge. And this is why God's been working with us and dealing with us the way he has, because he has left no stone unturned. He wants to make sure, he has been making sure that we are holy and we can do the works that he's called us forth to do. Now, God said, are you part of those houses? Are you one with the Father? Now, listen to what he's saying. Are you part of those houses? Are you one with the Father? If so, come on. We have a tremendous amount of work to accomplish at this given time. I know all things, and I tell you a truth now. Right now is a time I have allotted for this great harvest to be brought in. If you don't want to work for God, if you don't want to walk in holiness, and you don't want to do what he wants you to do, that's fine. He'll pass you by. There's always somebody else who can take your mantle. I'm sorry, but you're not all that. And then somewhere you, God's going to wait on you because he's waited as long as he's going to wait. God said, I have been purging every bit of the world out of you, and I stand back and smile at what I see. I am well pleased with my children who have been drawn close to the fire and have not given up. Say that. Have not given up in a single area of their walk with me. Sometimes they cried, Father, how much more can there be in me that is not pleasing to you? I know a lot of you have said that. Sometimes they sat down and said, I am so glad that is over, just to have me start a new process in them. And that was been going for years now in this house of refuge. The battle in the atmosphere is at the greatest high. The enemy is throwing everything at my true followers to get them off track. He knows no limits to his dark, evil ways. He is the epitome of darkness, and he will not relent. You have to be the one to hold the line of defense. See that? You. And you have to be the one that says enough is enough. You. You have to say that. Now, Alan sent me a word at 2:50 Wednesday afternoon, right after God gave me this message. I had the whole message, and here's what he heard. He said, I heard this so strongly I had to pull over and write it down. I hear the voice of the Lord saying, I am more serious now than I have ever been with you in your walk with me. We prepare for war. Gird yourselves this day for a war the likes of which you haven't been subjected to yet. You have been well trained, and in the training you have often wondered and questioned, why, Lord, am I going through this? Your training has been tailored to your calling. Your trust and faith in me is what you will stand for and with, or you will fail and fall. Know this, my beloveds, my will prevail in all things. Your job is to march, respond to my spirit, and be my body on this earth. Your job is to march, respond to my spirit, and be my body on this earth. I operate on many fronts, weaving a plan to not only redeem this earth, but this universe. Follow my instruction and leave the overall battle plan to me. Only I see all the fronts. Only I lead all the battles and see all things. I am calling on those who have raised their hands to follow your instructions at all cost and leave the overall battle to me. Once again, I say, gird your loins for battle. That went right along with his whole message. You know, he didn't know my message, but he sent me this email, and I got so excited, I just praised God for, I know, a good 10, 15 minutes. See, that means that Alan and my spirit are on the same wavelength. And this is how God works. If you're walking in the spirit and you're in the same wavelength as somebody, you will intervene with them. I think it's awesome. God says, why don't you try my angelic army? I have told you over and over again that they will come to your assistance. My word does not lie. They stand watch over you to keep you safe from all harm. They will fight your battles for you and free you up so you can be about the Father's business. God's been telling us for years to use the angels. If you don't understand angels, you need to study about them, and you need to start calling upon the angels to assist you in everything that you're doing. And whether you see it or not, when you call upon them, they actually go to work and start working for you. Know one thing, beloveds. No, I'm sorry. Children, you are infused with my Holy Spirit. Are you? Didn't he do that to us here at the altar many times? And he will lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep. The problem with the body of Christ is that you do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Now, don't get all excited. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just forget about it. There's too many in the body of Christ doing their thing, their way, and they're not seeking God and asking God, what is it that you want me to do? Everything I do in my home, I always seek God's face about it first, because I don't want no whiplash, overdoing something stupid. And the people in my home say, you don't know what you're doing. You don't understand. You don't see all things. No, I don't see all things. And I know I don't understand a lot of things that's going on, but I know what God tells me to do, and that's what I do. I am being led by the Spirit and not by the voice of man. And I mean in your own home. Because my people in my home are not led by the Spirit, and I'm sure not going to follow what they tell me. And that's the way each one of you need to know that you know that you know that you are led by the Spirit of God, and then be led. And you don't care what anybody says about what you're doing. You do what God's told you to do. God sees all things. All right? No one thing, beloved ones. I'm constantly on the move, and I neither slumber nor do I sleep. I have a work that must be accomplished right now, and it must be completed in a very short time. And Psalm 121:4 says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You know, you all just lay in your bed and just snore away. God doesn't. He's constantly awake, constantly looking to and fro upon the earth, taking care of his children. God says, children, it is time for Acts chapter 2 to be unfolded before the world's eyes. This chapter is for the world, not my true people. The world needs a sign and a wonder. The church is the sign and the wonder. Let's read that again. Children, it is time for Acts chapter 2 to be unfolded before the world's eyes. This chapter is for the world, not my true people. The world needs a sign and a wonder. The children is the sign and the wonder. Remember that. You should be walking in the miracle-working power that my disciples of old walked in. He said, you should be. You should be speaking the oracles of the Father continually. Children, yes, the church has gone off course, but that doesn't mean it has to stay off course. Each one of us individually constitutes a church, right? I have been wooing you once again to come into my presence and stay there. What is your problem? Why can't you stay in my presence and flow with my anointing? I have made a way of escape, and there is absolutely nothing else I can do for you. My favorite saying is, what is your problem? You know, just do what's right. And you won't have all this mess in your life, right? And so God says here, what is your problem? Some of you won't answer that honestly because you have to face the fact that you're doing wrong. You have to face what you're doing and then take it before God and get it corrected. If not, you're not going to do the mighty works that God's getting ready to put us into. I have to stay out of my evening sermon here. Okay. God said, come into the well springs of living water and just bask there with me and my kingdom. Allow the waters to flow over you once again and be refreshed and renewed in my spirit. Allow the love of the Father just saturate you and bring you into a place with me that you have never been before. Come into the well springs. And God said, Jesus says, you know, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And God wants us to flow in that rivers of living water. Why? So we can pour it into somebody else. If you don't have the anointing, you're not going to be able to pass anointing on anybody else. And I'm not praising myself, but I hug people and I'll say, God, whatever is anointing in me, I pass it over to them right now because you'll refill me. I don't keep the anointing that I have. I pass it on to somebody else. And every time they get the anointing. But what kind of anointing do you have in you? Please don't pass some of your anointings on to anybody else. Make sure you have the right anointing. And see, we're supposed to be building people up, and we should have an anointing in us that's pure and holy and righteous before God. And we should, and to tell you honest truth, God will say to me, pour your anointing into this one. I just don't do it at random. God tells me to do it. And every time they receive. And so see, if you're really walking in the Spirit, you won't go around thinking, well, I'm so full of the anointing, I'll just hug everybody. No, that's pride. you'll be open to hear the voice of God to say, hug this one and release your anointing into them. All right? Lost my place. Psalm. We're going to read Psalms 91, verse 1 through 3. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Do you believe that? Well, then walk in it. If you really believe that God's going to keep you in all your ways, then walk in it. Then Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I wear this scripture out. God, now look what they're doing. I'm the apple of your eye. Now you take care of me. I do that. I get so sick and tired of the devil thinking he can walk all over me. So I just say, God, I'm the apple of your eye because you said I was. Because he said, anybody touches you, pokes me in the eye. Now you take care of them. And I go on about my business, happy as I can be, because I don't have to worry about nothing because God's already taken care of me. I believe what I read. Are you listening here? Some of you just sort of skim over. You don't even know what you read. And you're missing out when you do that. Then God says, children, there is so much of my heavenly kingdom that you do not know about. Do you understand? There is so much we don't know about. There are hidden secrets that I want to show you so you can take these secrets back to a lost and dying world. How many of you has God said that to you? I want to bring you up into heavenlies and I want to share the secrets with you. Then I want you to take them back down to earth. I know he said that to a lot of you in here, but you haven't done anything with that. You said, well, that sounded nice. Well, you know, that little sound might go away and God might never use you to do that. Did I not call my beloved John up into the heavenlies? Did I not show him mysteries to come? And Revelation 4, 1 and 2 says, this is John speaking. After this, I looked and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Do you know how much God so desires to speak that to each and every one of us in the sound of my voice this morning? He wants you so close to him and so hungry for him that he can say to you, come on up here. I got something to tell you. But remember, I'm going to tell it again, the story when I was first born again. 3 days after I was born again, I thought I did something I shouldn't have done. And I didn't talk to God for 3 days. And then that one morning I went to the window and I looked out and I said, oh God, without thinking. And God started laughing. He said, daughter, I've been waiting 3 whole days to tell you something. And he started talking to me. He was waiting for me to come to him so he could speak something to me. I just fell on the floor crying. I really and truly cannot tell you what I did. I knew at that point, my Father in heaven who created the earth was waiting for me to come and talk to him. He didn't come and say to me, I need to talk to you, because I felt like I was unworthy. He was waiting for me to understand I was worthy. And then he was going to talk to me. Are you understanding this? You really, really don't know what it is to walk with God. You really don't. Or you won't be doing the things you're doing. Walking with God is the most wonderful thing in the world. It's not suffer-free. You still suffer. But he's there for you, and he holds your hand, and he talks to you. And he just does all kind of things to reassure you that it's okay. It's just okay. And you're going to go, and you're going to cry. Because you just can't quite understand why these things are happening when you've prayed and everything. But God knows all things. I learned a long time ago that God knows all things, and all I can do is give it to him. I can't make people change. I can't make people believe that if they don't, if you're in the house of God and you teach in the house of God and you cuss and carry on, you're going to go to hell. The Bible says so. God calls you Jezebel. But people think they can do that. You can get up behind a pulpit and preach and live like the devil and they think they're going to heaven. That's not true. Teachers are going to be judged harshly. You must always understand that. Don't desire to be a teacher because you're going to get the harshest judgment according to the word. All right. All right, the voice had come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. John said, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. John said, at once, as soon as he heard the voice, he was in heaven. So John must have been willing and able to go. You know, well, not able, but willing to go. And Revelation 1:17 says, when I saw him, John said, when I saw him, I felt his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first. This is God speaking to him. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus was alive, then he was dead, and now he's alive again, right? Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. God told me one time, I was standing right where Shirley was at, and he said, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your lampstand. You know, God doesn't let me slide. And you shouldn't want him to let you slide either. You should want his correction at all times. I don't want to be standing up here giving the gospel, or even at my home or wherever I'm at, thinking I'm on my way to heaven when I'm on my way to hell. You have to let God talk to you. You have to let him show you where you are amiss. You know, and too many of us are missing what God's wanting us to do, and then we're sitting around wondering, why is this happening? I mean, I say that because I asked God, and God said, you don't sit still long enough. You know, how many of you, you ask God a question, and you jump up and do something else? Sit still. When you're asking him a question, sit still and listen to what he has to say. All right? Sometimes I'll sit there 15, 20 minutes. I said, well, God, you're not speaking, but I give you full permission, because I'm getting up now. I give you full permission to talk to me at any time, whatever I'm doing. Just interrupt me and just talk. And that's how he does it. But I give him permission to do that. You can interrupt me at any given time, because I want to hear what you have to say. What you have to say is more important than anything else I'm doing. God said, well, I want to do the very same thing to you, like he did to John. He wants to call you up into heaven. And he wants to speak to you the mysteries of heaven so you can come back down and share it with us. All right? Well, I want to do the very same thing to you. I want to bring you up hither into my open doors, which is the third heaven, and show you the kingdom as I see it and not as men see it. You know, I'm going to say this because I really believe this in my heart of hearts, that everybody that says they went to heaven didn't go to heaven. You feel that too? You know, you can sell a lot of books. You can get a lot of invitations onto programs by saying that. But there's just something, and I know it's God, that everybody that says they went to heaven didn't go. Now, I'm not saying there's a lot that don't go. I'm not saying that. Like everything else, I just think there's false prophets. Amen. And really, if you're walking in the spirit, whenever you're listening to or reading about it, you'll know whether or not they really went or not. Because of spitness, the spirit bears witness with you. All right, he says, you will write book after book about what my domain looks like, and the only way you can do this is if you allow me to catch you up in the spirit and whisk you away, just as I did John. Now, how many times has God come into this church and said, I want you to come up into the third heaven? So if you really went up into the third heaven, you've been into heaven and you heard and saw things, and I haven't heard any of you give me a testimony of that. What is keeping us, honest, right? Honesty. What is keeping us from going up into the third heaven? Ask yourself, why is it, Lord, that you, because God has invited us, And he has told us the doors are open. Why is it, Lord, that I have not been able to go? And I know you've said, God, I want to go to the third heaven. Why is it? What's holding me back from going there? Are you listening here? There's something in our lives that's not allowing us to go up into the Holy of Holies, the third heaven. Your upper holiness dwells. Now, God said, I have given you revelation of my courtroom procedures, and I so desire to bring you up into my courtroom so you can witness a session in process. I think that would be awesome to stand up there in God's courtroom and watch it happen. You who I have given revelation knowledge to about my courtroom, I am calling you forth this day and hour to come up hither and allow me to give you a personal tour. Brett. Aaron's not here. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm about to reveal to those who love me. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:9. I don't want no more excuses from you, Brett. I want to know why you're not up there in the courtroom watching what's going on, coming down and telling us. Get it together. You know, and if you don't make it, then it's not our problem, it's yours. It's not God's problem, it's yours. You're not doing something right, or you'd be going up there. Isn't that what he just said? All right, now since I chewed him out, I'll pick on somebody else in a minute. Children, quit settling for the mundane. Listen to what God's saying. Children, quit settling for the mundane and reach for the highest height, which is the heavenly kingdom. Show yourself approved and walk by faith and not by sight. See, it's by faith that you're going to go up in there. All right? I don't think I have this in this evening's message. I think it's just something, you know, this walk on water thing that I have going, you know. Yeah, I believed everything God said, and I went out to the mud puddle and couldn't even walk in the mud puddle. And I realize now why, is before I even put my foot on the mud puddle, I already doubted. Can I really do this? But I never asked that question about anything else, raising the dead or anything else. I just did. But trying to step on a stupid mud puddle, I put my foot up near and I said, can I really do this? Right then and there, I failed. Are you understanding this? You have to know that you know that you know you can go to the third heaven. I don't know where I'm at now. Expect the heavenly host to be walking amongst you at all times. Are you believing? Are you believing there's angels here? You believe there's angels in your car? Do you believe there's angels in your home or in the mall, wherever you're at? He said, expect the heavenly host to be walking amongst you at all times. Cry out for me to open up your spiritual eyes to see my heavenly host amongst you, even this very moment. You don't know how many times I went. Norval Hayes, remember his daughter? She was a mess. She was a drug addict. And he said to God, let her see an angel. And she comes screaming down the hall. I saw the biggest angel that sobered her up, and she's preaching the gospel. I do that to my kids all the time, but it's not working. But it will, I know, one day. Now, see, that was a wrong statement. Not one day. It should be happening when I say it. See, that's another fault we have. Well, it didn't happen right now. It happened one day. Devil, you caused that not to happen. Come on. The Word of God said, whatever you asked, or whatever you want, ask and you shall receive. So we asked, and if we didn't receive it, we might have asked amiss, and you check yourself out there, and if you didn't ask amiss, then the devil's holding up your answer. Isn't that what happened in Daniel? The devil held the answer for 21 days. But see, Daniel didn't go into, well, God just must be too busy right now. He just kept praying and believing, and the answer came. The whole time he was praying and believing, there was a battle going up in the heavenlies, trying to keep the answer from Daniel to put him in doubt and unbelief. Are you understanding this? Take time right now and allow me to show you what is going on even in this room, this very moment with my angelic activity. If you take your glasses off, can you see better, Chris? He took his glasses off. I thought that'd help you see better. All right. God said, what did Peter say in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10? I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given. Was that Peter? Was that Paul the thorn was given to? I had the wrong scripture, but that's okay. We'll just take this. This sounds good to me. All right. A thorn was given to me. I'll have to look up and see what Peter said. Paul said, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. See that? You might be asking God for something. God said, my grace is sufficient. And I know that to be a fact because that's what I'm hearing. His grace is sufficient. He will sustain me. So whatever it is you're asking God for and it's not happening right now, his grace is sufficient. And Paul went on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All right, guys, see what Paul says? For the sake of Christ, then I am content, not complaining, with weaknesses, you know, sicknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What happened to Paul and his thorn in the flesh? God told him all that, and Paul went about his business. One day he realized, and the thorn in the flesh was somebody following him around, harassing him. And just all of a sudden, one day, the person was gone. See, when he put his full attention on what he was supposed to do for God, then God took care of his other junk. All right, so instead of you getting your mind set on what the problem is, just let God have it, and you go on about the Father's business, and next thing you know, your problem's gone. Paul's vision on the road to Damascus, described in Acts 9, 22 and 26, Paul is walking in the road to Damascus in order to arrest Christians in Damascus. A bright light surrounds Saul, and he hears a voice claiming, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Saul loses his sight, but gains it again through the laying on of hands by Ananias, who then baptizes Saul or Paul. You know, did you ever think about how amazing it is that Paul wrote most of the Gospels, and he wasn't one of the original 12? He said, I was brought in, you know, he was born in out of season. So, you know, I don't care what I'm saying, going here with this. I don't care how many years a pastor might have in the ministry. God can always pull somebody else in that's going to do what's right if that pastor gets off course. You hear this? So if you have an assignment and God has you out there an assignment and you start going off course, God can always pull somebody else in and take over your assignment. And the problem is everybody thinks, oh, well, God can't do without me. Well, he might do better without you. Okay, number two, Paul's vision in prison in Acts 23:11. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified about me at Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. And so, okay, Paul was going to be killed, right? But God said, take courage because you're going to go to Rome. You're not going to stay here. So then Paul said, okay, I'm not going to die tonight. So I might as well go to sleep, right? All right, and third thing, Paul's trance in the temple in Acts 22:17. After his conversion, Paul returns to Jerusalem, and while he is praying in the temple, he enters into a trance in Greek. The word for trance is ecstasy. Paul said, when I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get quickly out of Jerusalem because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, see, God told him, get going. They're going to do something to you. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in thee. And when the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, I also was standing by and approving and keeping the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, depart, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. You know, Jesus didn't care what he did. Jesus said, go away. Now, isn't this the time whenever he was let down over the wall in a basket to escape? You know, he just couldn't get on a horse and very pridefully ride out of the city. He had to hide and get out of the city. And he was God's chosen man of the hour. So just because God has said you're a great chosen person does not mean that the enemy is not going to harass you and try to keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. My question to you this day, God says, can you honestly stand in Peter's shoes? Well, we'll say Paul's because I didn't get Peter's. Can you honestly stand in Paul's shoes? Can you stand in Peter's and can you stand in Paul's shoes? I am here this day searching for sold out ones. And do you meet the criteria? I think we're going to study about Peter this evening some. But Peter and Paul have big shoes to fill. If you're going to stand, you say, yeah, I can stand in Peter's, I can stand in Paul's shoes. Can you really? Can you endure all the hardships that they had to go through? What we're headed into, guys, is very dangerous. There's going to be a lot of persecution. Remember a couple years ago when everybody was talking, I was up here talking about what was going on overseas with the Christians, and God spoke through me and said, it's coming to America. Well, it's here. A couple years, it's here. And it's not a very good deal to be a Christian right now. But this is when we're going to have to be like all the other martyrs, and we're going to stand our ground. And, I don't care if you cut my head off. It's just going to be whacking. It's going, right? Or if you shoot me, it's just going to be a shell in me, and I'm going anyhow. I'm going to go straight to heaven, right? And I won't have to put up the darkness here any longer. But see, you're going to have to determine your heart. God, I'm going to do all that you require me to do in order to fulfill either my own shoes that you put me in and bring in the lost souls that are out there waiting for somebody who's brave enough to preach the gospel to them. We can sit inside these four walls and say, oh, I'll do it. But will you go outside the four walls and do it? Will you be a testimony to all that you come in contact with? We was out on the streets all the time. Daryl, can you stand before somebody else that's doing drugs and say, God is in control and God can deliver you from all things? You know, this is where it's at. You know? And I think about Frances Hunter. You know, they had that huge healing ministry. And she got that sore in her leg. And she wouldn't go to the doctor about it. She said, God's doing all this healing. He's going to heal my leg. She about lost her leg. And she had to go to the hospital and have surgery. She doesn't know and she doesn't care. Well, she's dead now. But she didn't know and didn't care why God didn't heal her leg. She had to have surgery on it. She didn't get upset with God. They just kept running with her healing ministry. Now, how many of you would do that? Well, if you can't heal me, then what witness am I to anybody else? Her faith was a big witness. Their steadfastness was a big witness. Her husband was a big witness. You know, he used to love bacon. And his wife was down the kitchen cooking him a big dish of bacon. And he was halfway down the steps smelling this delicious bacon. And God said to him, son, I don't want you to ever eat another piece of bacon the rest of your life. He went down and said to his wife, he said, I can't eat that bacon. Why not? God just told me I can. And he never touched a piece of bacon. He didn't eat any that morning. He never touched another piece of bacon. How many of you would have done that? Well, Lord, I'll just eat this bacon and then I won't eat any more after today. After all, this is already cooked now. Don't want to waste it. That's the way you would do. I know. I've been there, done that. You want me to start a 40-day fast when? Well, I'll start it tomorrow because they're going to have a big dinner today, and I'll eat with them, and I'll start it tomorrow. Right? No, he says, right now, go down there and fellowship with them while they're eating. And you don't eat a thing, and you just be really happy that you're not supposed to eat for 40 days. Come on. Are you under, God's asking you, are you understanding the importance of your walk with him today? Because this day is going to start the day for the rest of your life, a commitment that you won't be able to go back on. So God's question to you was, can you honestly stand in Peter and Paul's shoes? He said, I'm here this day searching for sold out ones. Do you meet the criteria? If you meet the criteria, God wants you up front. Because he's going to give you anointing to follow through with what you just committed yourself to do.